How does God speak to us today? The context of this question is when we try to decide what God's will is for us or discern His guidance. For example, should you go to college? Which college should you go to? Instead of going to college, should you start a career right away? Which career? Who do you date? Whom should you marry? Takes two. If you're going to retire, when do you retire? Where do you retire? And all those questions that are so pertinent to our lives. So, today as we talk about this, we're going to do an overview of how God has spoken and how He speaks, beginning at the beginning, where in Genesis, it says, for example, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then on day six, God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Unless God had spoken, life as we know it does not exist. So God speaks through His creation. Creation so clearly reveals who God is that He guided the Apostle Paul to say these words. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. How does this help you decide where to work, for example? Or where do you go to college? Well, since God is Lord of all creation, He is involved everywhere, and any honest work done with a righteous heart is done for His glory and honor. And so we can embark on anything knowing we are contributing to God's creation if it's honest work. But then, because God's people chose to reject Him, God spoke through covenants. For example, early on, He made a covenant signed with a rainbow with Noah, promising He would never destroy the world again through a flood. And then later, He spoke to Abram and made a covenant with him. He said these words, "Then the Lord God took Abram outside and said to him, 'Look up into the sky and count the stars, if you can. That's how many descendants you will have.' And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." Centuries later, God gave the law through His servant Moses. This is called the Mosaic Law. And the law was not given in order to save God's people, but to show those who knew Him by faith how to carry out His will. And so, Moses said, "I stood as an intermediary between you and the Lord, for you were afraid of the fire and did not want to approach the mountain. He spoke to me, and I passed His words on to you." So, yet again, God covenanted with David, and we know this as the Davidic covenant, and promised this, "For this is what the Lord says, David will have a descendant sitting on the throne of Israel forever." And Christ fulfilled that covenant because He, as the eternal King, sits on the throne of God forever as the eternal King. So how does this help you decide, again, which job to take? Well, since God is a covenant-keeping God, we might keep in mind, is there one option which helps me serve Him most faithfully, which best helps me be a covenant-keeper in my relationship with Him? Does one option help me serve Him better than another? Then Israel, God's chosen family, deviated from these covenants and decided to try to live without God repeatedly. However, God spoke through His prophets, calling the people back to Him to love Him with all their heart, all their mind, all their strength, and love their neighbors as themselves. Again, the question is, how does God speak to us today? And Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, provide this remarkable connection between what God said through the prophets and the coming of His Son. Listen to what it says. "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets, and now in these final days He has spoken to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son He created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven." So, God promised everything to the Son, and He entrusted the destiny of creation to Christ. Furthermore, Christ radiates the glory and character of God. His mighty command sustains creation. He took our sins to the cross to cleanse us. And then he returned to the place of honor, the right hand of God, which signifies full power and authority. So Christ, as creator, also fulfills the covenants of God and the promises given through the prophets. So God spoke through his Son, Jesus Christ. Before he was crucified, Jesus met with his disciples for that last meal where he spoke of his coming death, and taking a glass of wine, he said, "For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." So Christ himself becomes the basis of our covenant with God. He fulfills completely through his sacrifice the Old Testament covenant. And the principal way God speaks to us then is through his Son. So how does this help you choose a job, for example? Well, when you enter into this covenant love of God through faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, you become his servant in whatever role you fulfill. You are a servant of the living Christ in covenant with him. Now, how does this interchange come about? We don't see Jesus Christ physically in the flesh right now. How does God speak to us today in this relationship? He sent his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." The Holy Spirit clarifies and applies the word of Jesus, the word God has given us. And the principal way the Son speaks to us is through the Holy Spirit. And he reveals Christ's words perfectly. So God speaks by his Holy Spirit. How do we know we're hearing the voice of God accurately? Well, the principal way the Spirit speaks to us is through the Word of God, the Scriptures, objective truth. Since God wants his people to live in the joy of his will, it makes sense that he would communicate to us something understandable and clear and something that would be timeless. Paul emphasizes this when he writes to his protege Timothy, and he reminds him that he has come to know about Christ through the Scriptures, and he's also learned how to live. He says this in 2 Timothy 3, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." God speaks through his Scriptures. So then, in our job hunting, our college choosing, our dating life, what do? Keep reading or listening to the Word of God so that he shapes your values. The recorded Word of God corrects us, teaches us, instructs us, guides us as to how we move forward in life. A few of the benefits of God's Word, the Scriptures, are, for example, wisdom for decisions, delight for your soul, prevention of sin, spiritual weapon against evil, discerning our own attitudes, and the ultimate benefit is vivid faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the Scriptures say, or seen that the Scriptures are, the definitive Word of God. So how does God guide us then when the Bible doesn't tell us specifically what to do? For example, you won't find a verse that says, go to such and such a college or take that specific job. Marry that individual. Well, first of all, we keep on reading and studying, taking in the Scriptures. And second, we ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. For example, I read of a Christian man who was offered three marvelous jobs at the same time. In fact, he received these, I think, within days of one another. And each of the jobs fulfilled something of his own gifts and passion. Each one was remarkable. But much to the chagrin of each employer, prospective employer, he said that he and his wife had decided they would need a few months to pray and discern what God's direction was. So, we'll see in the end how this worked out. But how do we do this then? God speaks to us in prayer. David prayed, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly. The Holy Spirit is active in our prayer lives, because prayer is an actual encounter with the living God. And so the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, writes Paul. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. When we pray and listen, we're not looking for something novel or strange or weird to happen. We're simply asking God to speak to us and guide us. And so we pray and listen. After we've read His Word or listened to His Word, we get quiet and we ask Him to protect our minds and to help us focus on what He wants to do. Often in this process, He reminds me simply of scriptures that I've read before or scriptural truth that I've learned. Or He may give me some particular insight into what would be best going forward for my life or the decision that I'm grappling with. And so, in this kind of listening prayer, He simply reminds us what is best. Now, there's a good caution in this presented to us by Richard Foster, who wrote, remember, contemplative prayer is for seasoned veterans in the life of faith. These are not people who are blown about by every wind of doctrine or every wind of emotion. These are people who, by extensive experience, know the difference between the enthusiasm of a temporary spiritual high and a settled conviction given by the Spirit. And furthermore, we are not islands. God speaks through His people. He guides through gifts of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us in prayer, but He also speaks to us through His people. It says in the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from God, the Spirit of God, or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. And then later he says, let two or three people prophesy, and let the others evaluate what is said. God builds accountability into these speaking gifts. A fellow believer, and this is the importance of participating in the fellowship of the local church, might have an insight for you or for me about God's direction. And we take that to heart and we mull it over, bring it alongside the other input God is giving us from His Word primarily, or from the voice of His Spirit as we listen in prayer. Other biblical examples of guidance include things like God speaking to people in visions and dreams. In Acts 10 and Acts 16, he speaks to Peter and to Paul in these ways. But we won't go on into that in detail because the principal ways God speaks we've already outlined. In summary, we would put it this way. God speaks through creation. This is His world. God spoke through covenants. He keeps His promises. He's trustworthy. God spoke through prophets. He reveals His holiness. God spoke through His Son, Jesus Christ. He reveals the Father perfectly. God speaks through His Holy Spirit. He honors the will of the Son. And God speaks through His Scripture. It preserves God's infallible Word. God speaks to us in prayer. He guides our steps. And God speaks through His people via gifts we discern together. And the man who had to decide between three great job offers, after time of prayer and discernment, he phoned each of them and gratefully declined because he said that God had guided him and his wife to use his gifts in a different way and to start a different organization altogether, which served many people very, very well for many, many years to come. God speaks today. Keep listening.